Small businesses. Direct Line guarantee to be any public liability insurance quote for the same cover. Can your insurance do that? New customers only. Qualifying criteria apply. Underwritten by UK Insurance Limited.
Wednesday, December 30th, 2015. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, sports writer from Denver, Colorado. Hey, you know, we release new podcasts every single Wednesday about noon Mountain Standard Time, and we try to bring you a unique outlook on the world of sports than you're going to get anywhere else. You can download, you can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or pretty much anywhere podcasts are hosted, or you can head over to our website. It is dailydosesports.wordpress.com. And you can always listen there. We post an article or two every single week. And we always post a link to the show that you can just listen to it there at the website if you would like to. If you have a comment, got a question for the show, whatever you may have, feel free to email us. DailyDoseSports@gmail.com. Would love to hear from you. You can also follow us on Twitter at DailyDoseSports. That is D-A-L-Y, DailyDoseSports. Or you can like us on Facebook by the same name. Today, on the final show of 2015, we're going to take a look back at 2015, and we're going to take a look back at some of the more memorable moments of this past year. Also going to be previewing the college football playoff games. Those are coming up tomorrow. I know you're you might be thinking of it. Those are coming up on January 1st. No, they're not. They're not on Friday. Going to talk about that here in a few minutes. Going to talk a little bit of NFL. You know, week 16, we saw a number of shakeups going on around the league. Plus, as we do every week, we will have our Daily Dose Top 5. Always a popular segment on the show. You never want to leave before you hear the Top 5. You know, may have a little bit of a holiday flavor. You know how we do. And I might have to have some New Year's resolutions that I share with you here in a few minutes. Did you get everything that you wanted for Christmas? Hopefully that you had a great holiday, and I hope that you got everything that you wanted for Christmas. Hopefully you had a very good time. I think I got what most Americans, you know, got for Christmas. I got fat. Speaking of getting fat, now is the time of year that people start, you know, making their New Year's resolutions, which honestly, when you start making those New Year's resolutions, it usually consists of, I want you to think back to everything you do on New Year's Eve, and then putting the word stop in front of all those things. So I'm going to stop eating until I loathe myself. I'm going to stop drinking until I don't know, black out and wake up in a puddle of my own sick. I'm going to stop saying, see you next year, you know, on New Year's Eve in an attempt to be clever. We don't need to do those things anymore. But enough of those kind of those resolutions. I'm going to make some real resolutions right now. Like, we all do the, I'm going to lose weight, I'm going to eat better, I'm going to do all those things. I'm going to give you guys some real Daily Dose resolutions. Here are my 2016 New Year's resolutions. In 2016, a couple things that I'm really going to focus on doing. First off, I'm going to stop making fun of sports officials. Sure, I know they're like about as dependable or consistent as like a jittery crackhead, but it doesn't mean I should point that out every single time. We saw some calls this last week in the NFL. I don't even know what they're looking at. And then I look at the replay, and it seems to show exactly opposite of what they call. I don't understand it. I'm going to try to stop making fun of officials. I know they have a tough job. No, they have a difficult time. Another resolution that I'm going to give you. I'm going to try to do a better job of accepting the fact that Tim Tebow is out of the NFL because he's just not a very good quarterback. He's not very good at football. I'm going to forget the fact that Jimmy Clausen, Kellen Moore, Austin Davis, and Dan Orlovsky have taken snaps this season in the NFL. I just have to learn to live with the fact that Tebow was worse than any of those guys, right? And it didn't have anything to do with his religion. It was purely football. I'm going to try to do a better job with that. I'm going to stop being so skeptical of Dallas Cowboys owner Jerry Jones as the general manager of the Cowboys. Okay. So he told us how good Brandon Whedon and Matt Cassel would be. And yes, those two clowns, you know, they threw like 5 or 6 touchdowns, had like 9 or 10 interceptions, and Dallas went 1-10 with them starting. And let's be, you know, honest. Dallas you know, has averaged basically 8 wins a season since they got rid of Jimmy Johnson and him being the GM. And that includes those 8 wins a season. That includes the 3 seasons after Johnson left, where they were averaging like 12 wins, and they were all with Johnson's players and all with Johnson's draft picks. Jerry Jones is a genius. Forget the fact that he doesn't really show it in the GM booth. I have to accept that. He's a really, really super smart guy, and he's really, really intelligent. I'm going to do my best to try to accept him as the GM down there. He's doing a phenomenal job. 8-8. I'm going to stop. One of the things I'm going to do in 2016, I'm going to start harping on the fact that Kobe Bryant shoots too much. I mean, yes, I give him a hard time about him always shooting too much and just jacking up shot after shot after shot. And yes, I know. He owns the record for most misses in NBA history. But it's only because he's never gotten to play with much talent around him. He had to carry those teams. I mean, when you think of the players that Kobe has had to play with, I mean, he's played with garbage his whole career. I mean, Shaquille O'Neal, Robert Horry, Glenn Rice, Jerome Kersey, Ron Harper, Karl Malone, Gary Payton, Pau Gasol, Horace Grant. I mean, dude has had to carry those scrubs. What else could he do? Yes, he had to jack up a few shots. But it was only out of just necessity he had to do it, because he never got to play with anyone good. And lastly, finally, I'm going to stop dismissing the opinions of celebrities on important subjects. Because you'll hear a celebrity come on TV, or they get loose on a radio station, or maybe they say something in the print media, and you hear a celebrity say something, and you're like, you don't even live in the real world. You don't have any idea what things are like in the real world. How are you voicing an opinion on these things? I mean, we hear celebrities voicing opinions on things like politics and world affairs. I mean, if Kim Kardashian and Justin Bieber want to voice their opinions on Syria and what's going on there, who am I to question them? I'm going to try to change. I mean, who am I to question the most famous women on the planet? Now, you might be listening to these, and you might be saying, Clint, we know you can't stick to those resolutions. Like, there's no way you're going to stick to that. But I can probably stick to it as long as most people stick with their, no more drinking and weight loss and work out every day and be a better person resolutions. I can probably make it to, I don't know, Monday, something like that. I think I can do it. And yes, I don't know if I'll make it much longer than that. I'm going to do my best. You know, 2015 was a crazy year in sports. When you think back to this year, sports, it's a little bit crazy. And think of some of the top stories that took place in the year of sports. Let's look back at 2015 a little bit. Because it's been a crazy sports year. And that's kind of what we love about sports, isn't it? That we don't know how things are going to go. Remember back in January, it was just back in January, a year ago, when Ohio State won the first ever college football playoff that we've ever had. This despite the fact everyone telling us in the media, Ohio State didn't really belong there. It should have been Baylor. It should have been TCU. It should have been someone. It should have been Ohio State. They didn't even belong there. And then they make it. Not only do they make it, and they win the whole thing. Which now, when you think about it, you kind of think back to every national championship ever and are like, I know we thought we got it right. I don't even know if we got those right. Like, now we doubt every national championship game that's ever been played to this point, because now I don't know. Maybe the third best team would have won the whole thing. I don't know. Maybe a team we weren't even looking at would have won the whole thing. It kind of changes that a little bit. And then in February, we move forward to February, and we had the Super Bowl, and the Seattle Seahawks give the New England Patriots the Super Bowl. You'll remember, they got the ball back, they're driving, they're down inside the 5, they have the biggest, baddest running back in their backfield, and I mean, they give the ball, I mean, just give the ball to the Patriots. Literally, give the ball to the Patriots. And as soon as that happened, and the New England Patriots win the Super Bowl, we're immediately told that Tom Brady and Bill Belichick are the greatest quarterback coach combo of all time. Like immediately, declarations were made. Oh, well, now it proves it. Brady's the best ever. Which is just kind of weird. because it kind of shows how fickle sports fans really are. Because if Russell, you know, Wilson doesn't throw that stupid pass, he audibles out of that dumb call from Pete Carroll or whatever, they run the ball and they score. Not only are we not talking about Brady and Belichick as being the best ever, we're probably starting to talk about how they're some of the biggest chokers of all time, because, man, they just keep finding ways to lose close Super Bowls. They lost two to the Giants, and now they lost one to the Seahawks. It's a fine line. It's a fine line in sports. From going to, you might be one of the biggest chokers ever, to, oh, you're probably the greatest quarterback who's ever lived. And, I mean, we have proof. Look at all the Super Bowls you've won. It's a fine line. It's a little bit, you know, fickle how these things work. We fast forward to June, and we saw the Golden State Warriors beat the Cleveland Cavaliers to win the NBA Finals. And in that, speaking of things that are just a little bit fickle, Andre Iguodala wins the finals MVP, despite the fact that Iguodala wasn't the leading scorer. And let's be real clear, he wasn't the best player on the floor. I don't know if the writers just decided we're going to give it to him. Or I don't know what it was. It was a little bit odd. Best player was clearly Steph Curry, and they decided to give it to Iguodala instead. Again, it's a little bit fickle. It's a little bit flaky sometimes. And, I mean, then LeBron James was named head coach and you know, of the year, which is also a little weird, I'll be honest. He won flopper of the year, though, so I guess that is okay. That made more sense. Not all the sense. Also in June, we saw the Chicago Blackhawks win the Stanley Cup Finals, which was thrilling to Chicago fans. I mean, that's a big thing. Chicago fans, you know, a lot of those fans back there, old-time hockey fans, they kind of get it. Great franchise. Blackhawks are a phenomenal franchise. Plus, you know, all those bandwagon fans that you see, you know, the guy that's at your work, and he has no allegiance to Chicago whatsoever, but he's got a Blackhawks jacket on. He's got like a Blackhawks jacket, like a Yankees hat, and like a Notre Dame shirt on. Awesome. Yeah, the Blackhawks winning it was really, really big to that guy. That guy really, he needed a win. Also, in July, you know, the USA wins the FIFA Women's World Cup in soccer. It is a phenomenal win. They rolled all the way through. The gold medal game was this huge thing, and it was all exciting, the final match. And we all pretended to, like, care about soccer, women's soccer at that. And we cared, I don't know, we cared for like a week, maybe. Tell me a women's soccer event that's happened since then. Like, name one. We can't come up with anything. We paid attention literally for like 8 days in July, and we haven't paid attention to it since, and we won't again until another 4 years. Like, we don't care. Maybe the Olympics. Maybe the Olympics. But we haven't paid attention to it since. I mean, we don't care. But it was fun for a while. We were chanting USA, doing some things. Also, in July, American Pharoah. Racehorse American Pharoah won the first triple crown in horse racing in 39 years. In 39 years, go back 40 years. And we all got excited and act like we knew something, like anything. Like we knew anything about horse racing. We're talking about, oh yeah, he's this age and he really likes the mud. And we don't have any idea about horse racing. Nobody knows. We don't care. It's one of those sports that we don't even pay attention to. No one cares about. But all of a sudden, we were all experts, dropping knowledge on horse racing. Well, you know, he likes running from the inside. He likes really getting on that post. I don't have any idea about horse racing. I don't care. You know the thing about horse racing that stands out to me? We completely ignore the enslavement and manipulation of these little people that get strapped to the back of these horses and have to run around this track. I think it's wrong, and I'm not afraid to say so. Finally, in November, One of the big stories of 2015, UFC fighter Ronda Rousey. Ronda Rousey was like the baddest woman on the planet. I mean, when she fights, it's not like a matter of if she's going to win. We know she's going to win. She's like the baddest. I mean, she's nasty. Like she's bringing back, you know, images of like Mike Tyson and these people that you're just like, no, you don't get in a ring with her. And back in November, she faced Holly Holm in her sixth title defense. And like I said, it wasn't a matter of if she would win. We all knew she was going to win. It was just a matter of, will she knock her out in 20 seconds, or will it be 30 seconds, or will she make it like a minute? Will she make it a round? But the fight didn't go the way that we thought it would. And Rousey found herself out colder than a Bill Cosby dinner date. But see, that's what makes sports so much fun. We don't know how they're going to go. And just when we think we have it all figured out, it somehow still manages to surprise us. Let's have a great 2016 and move forward. Hey, let's jump in. Got a number of sports stories coming out that we want to get into in breaking news. First off, probably the biggest story coming out, the Philadelphia Eagles abruptly fired their head coach Chip Kelly on Tuesday night, 5 days before their final game of 2015. You know, the Eagles were eliminated this past Sunday, or past Saturday, when they lost to the Washington Redskins. They lost to Kirk Cousins. Which we talked a little bit about the show last week, talked to Dylan Brooks last week about this game, and he had picked the Redskins. I said, I'll pick the Eagles because nothing else in the NFC East makes sense. So why would this? But the Eagles lost. And here's the thing that stands out to me. The thing that stands out to me about Chip Kelly's career, you can do, like, everyone's like, well, he's a jerk and, you know, he didn't deal with these players. Here's the thing. Winning cures everything. Like, Chip Kelly can go in there and he can be the biggest obnoxious jerk in the world, but you have to win. You got to win. Like, you can sit there and say, well, he did this and he made this roster move and he brought in all Oregon guys and he wanted his college system guys and he didn't know what he was doing. Everything's forgiven if he wins. I don't care if he wins with all Oregon guys. Like, he fills out a full Oregon team. If he wins, no one cares, especially in a city like Philadelphia. Oh, they would have supported. They wouldn't have cared one bit, but he didn't win. That's the biggest thing. So now they're talking about Chip Kelly. And for one, we don't know who will the Eagles go get now? Rich Kotite, will they bring him back? Hopefully. Hopefully. I don't know. We might have to ask Big Rob. Who are the Eagles going to go get? Because I don't know who they'll go get. There's a couple of people out there, I guess, that they're going to have to talk to. Always interesting to see which way teams go. Do they go try to get like an Eagle guy? Do they go try to get a college coach? Do they go try to get just the best? I say bring back Dick Vermeil. And is there any way that they can sign Marky Mark? Remember that movie? Marky Mark was on the Eagles. I mean, they wouldn't have lost to Kirk Cousins. I'll promise you that. That group wouldn't have lost to Kirk Cousins. And what's next for Chip Kelly? Where does he go now? He says he wants to stay in the NFL. Does he want to stay in the NFL? Does he want to go back to college? Couple of jobs that I would say keep in mind. Would Chip Kelly go to the Tennessee Titans, who are, I mean, just horrible, and reunite with Marcus Mariota, his quarterback that was up at Oregon? Would he go to somewhere like San Diego? And when I say San Diego, of course, I mean Los Angeles. And, you know, maybe try to install something out there with Philip Rivers or someone like that. Would he go to Cleveland? I would say Cleveland might be in the market for a coach. I don't know that I could see him being with the Giants if the Giants were to get rid of Tom Coughlin. But there's a couple of opportunities out there we might want to keep an eye on for Chip Kelly. Now, here's the problem. Unless you're a college that is going to get rid of your coach really, really late in the game because you're missing recruiting opportunities for him to go back to college. I don't know if that's going to happen. I think he's probably going to stay in the NFL, but we want to keep an eye on the Philadelphias and exactly what they do going forward. You might have saw last night that New York Knicks forward Cle'Anthony Early was robbed and shot in the leg in Queens early Wednesday morning, according to multiple reports. He was leaving a gentleman's club at 58th Street in Queens, was surrounded by up to six men, shot in the knee, and robbed of a gold necklace and gold caps from his teeth. Early, you might remember, he was a kid that played for Wichita State. Looked like he kind of maybe could end up being a player. He was drafted in the second round this year. And it's not a life-threatening thing, but fellas, and I'm not telling young kids not to go out. You're 20, early 20s years. He's 24. I'm not saying you can't go out, but I'm saying you might want to be careful. You might want to be careful when you're out there, you know, rolling with your gold chain and all this 58th in Queens, you know, early Wednesday morning. Notice they didn't say late Tuesday night. They said early Wednesday morning. I'm not saying you can't go. I'm not saying you shouldn't go. I'm saying you might want to be careful because there's some rough people out there and there are some desperate people out there that really, really want maybe some of the things you have. College football. 'Tis the season for, you know, kids to do stupid things. Bowl season. Seems like it happens every year. Clemson sent three players home, including key receiver Deion Kane, for violating team rules on Tuesday, just 2 days before they're getting ready to play in this game. I mean, they're getting ready to play in a playoff game. Now, they lose like a backup tight end, like a backup kicker or something. Those aren't costly. Those are not the costly ones. But Deion Kane, this is a deep threat. This is a guy that they have used a little bit to throw the ball deep. That could hurt him a little bit. And it sounds like they were sent home for failing drug tests. You have like 2 days. Can't you just survive and get through it? Speaking of you know, college kids making dumb decisions, you might have seen that Ohio State running back Ezekiel Elliott was driving under a suspended license, and you know, he had like a minor car accident, and the team is getting ready to go out for their Fiesta Bowl, and you know, he loses control of his vehicle on like Sunday afternoon, and then when the police come to check out the incident, they see that his license, he's driving with a suspended license, so he shouldn't be driving. Now, here's my thing. It's very similar to the situation with Klee Anthony Early. I'm not saying kids are kids. When you were 19, 20 years old, you did some dumb things. I know I did. I think it's unrealistic to expect these kids not to do stupid things. They're young and dumb. And then he said, I guess his side of it is that he didn't know he had a suspended license. Now, typically, let's be honest, we all know if we had a suspended license or not. Because what they usually do if you have a suspended license is they say, hey, you have a suspended license. See how that worked? And you just learn that? It's not. But we all did dumb things when we were 19, 20 years old. And this is the same thing. Here's my only caution with Ezekiel Elliott. You're costing yourself money. Because you're probably maybe a late first round pick, early second round pick, and now, because of these dumb things, you're dropping down to the third and fourth rounds, maybe fifth round. By the time someone's going to say, well, yeah, we really like him, and he's a strong kid, he runs hard, he's a pretty good player. But remember when they lost that game and he, like, you know, took his coaches to task and said he didn't like the play calling? And remember when he got that stupid driving with a suspended license? And you're costing yourself money. Help me help you, Ezekiel Elliott. Help me help you. I know you're sitting there saying, well, yeah, but he might benefit if he goes later in the draft and gets on a better team. He's still losing money. And there's no way to sidestep that. He's still losing money. That's just all there is to it. So, you know, again, help me help you. A number of things went on in the week of sports this week. Let's jump into a few things because it was a crazy week in the NFL. I mean, it was a crazy week in the NFL. And the bizarre thing was that some of the crazy week started prior to the actual games being played. You know, unlike Thursday, Friday, it started coming out some rumblings about Peyton Manning. And Denver Broncos quarterback, Peyton Manning, was accused of using HGH by news group Al Jazeera. They reported that Manning got HGH from the Geyer Institute back in 2011 after he had those neck surgeries. Now, this is back when he was with the Colts. Granted, there was a CBA being kind of processed at that time. The NFL was trying to get the CBA established, all those kind of things. But back when he was with the Colts, they said that Manning got some HGH shipped to his wife from this Geyer Institute. He says he went to the Geyer Institute, he worked out, he did a lot of like hyperbaric chamber, oxygen kind of things, and was trying to heal his neck and working really hard, kind of doing the rehab thing. But here's the thing, and I don't want to talk about this a whole lot, because the primary source on this, the guy within the institute that kind of said, yeah, Peyton Manning did this and he got these shipments or whatever, he's kind of started to recant what he said. He's kind of started to say, well, actually, I wasn't really there and I just kind of dropped his name. And, well, yeah, actually, that doesn't really make any sense and I didn't do that. Then we heard yesterday that the news group Al Jazeera started to back away from this story, saying that all they did, hey, we didn't say Peyton Manning did anything. All we reported was that Peyton Manning's wife received an anti-aging growth hormone. But we weren't making any allegations toward Peyton Manning. We didn't say anything about Peyton Manning. Now, they're talking about Peyton Manning might be getting lawyered up. There's a few other players involved in this. Ryan Howard could be involved. Some members of the Green Bay Packers could be involved. A few other baseball players might be involved. And now Al Jazeera and the guy that said it, they're all starting to back away from this story. They're all starting to back up. And Al Jazeera is saying, you know, Ashley Manning bought like some anti-wrinkle cream. Now, first off, get out of here with this BS. You reported it. And you reported it. It sounds to me like you reported it without vetting it so that you could, you know, dominate the headlines for like one day. Now, I'm not going to sit here and tell you, I think Peyton Manning is too good or too ethical to do that. Hey, if the average guy has the neck surgery that Peyton Manning had, you go get HGH. It's not illegal. It's not anything that you can't do. You would go get HGH. Your doctor would prescribe it. You would get that treatment. Hopefully it would help you. But it's banned by the NFL. Now, I'm not going to say Peyton Manning just wouldn't do it. Well, he's just not that guy. He just wouldn't do that. I don't have any idea if he would do it. But I do know this. I know that he's never tested positive for it. And I know that this story seems to be unraveling. So I'm not going to pay much attention to it unless there's a reason to. Because it kind of sounds like you kind of got caught up in a story that might have been a little bit made up, and now you're backing away from it. We'll see what Peyton Manning does. Does he go after this news group? Does he go after this guy that reported it? Does he go after this guy or institute? I know this. I know, you know, between all those, you know, commercials he does and the money he's made in the league, I would bet he can probably afford a pretty decent lawyer. I don't know that you want to go through the whole lawsuit thing. I don't know that you want to do that. Because then you're going to be putting your wife on the stand. She's talking about her crow's feet. But I don't know. I don't know that. I bet he can afford a good lawyer. I know that. Let's get to the field stuff, though. Because that whole thing is nonsense to me. On the field, a few of the top NFL teams got knocked off this week. And a few of the teams that we were looking at as being pretty big contenders in this whole thing got knocked off. First off, let's start with the Carolina Panthers. The Carolina Panthers finally lost a game. They are now 14-1. And as soon as they did, they gave those old geezers from the 72 Dolphins a reason, of course, to pop some prune champagne with their 4:30 early bird dinner. Because, you know, the 72 Dolphins just wait for every team to get knocked off. And then somehow think they're relevant and somehow think that what they did matters. As soon as Carolina lost, this is what stood out to me. As soon as Carolina lost, we were told it was the best thing to happen to them. It's a huge weight lifted off their shoulders. Now they can refocus. Now they can get ready. Now they are probably even more prepared to win the Super Bowl. Oh, I get it. I understand that. I'll hear some of that. Because I remember when the Denver Broncos had their 12-13 game winning streak back in 98, and then they got knocked off by the Giants, and it kind of felt to them, it kind of felt around here like the pressure was lifted. They lost like one more game, and then they kind of got it going, and by the playoffs, it was just a machine. Like, it didn't matter. So I get some of that. I really do. But here's the thing that would concern me a little bit. If I'm a Carolina guy, if I'm a Carolina fan, here's the thing that concerned me a little bit. You lost to a garbage team of the Atlanta Falcons. And you allowed almost 400 yards to the Atlanta Falcons to beat you. Now, as bad as that is, as bad as that sounds, maybe more importantly, you could only manage 13 points against what we all know is a pretty bad Atlanta defense. Now, you can sit here and say, hey, it's a huge weight lifted, and now they're going to refocus. I'm a little concerned. I think Carolina has a chance to contend for a Super Bowl, but that concerns me a little bit because I've got news for you. Atlanta is not who you're going to see in the postseason. That team's not very good. Remember when they started off 6-0 and everybody, oh, Atlanta's pretty good. Yeah, right. So if I'm Carolina, I'm a little bit nervous. The New England Patriots got beat 26-20 by the New York Jets. And the Patriots failed to clinch home field advantage. I mean, they could have locked up home field throughout the playoffs if they win that game. Now they have to try to win this week against Miami, which shouldn't be a problem because we all know the disaster that Miami has been this year. But hey, you could have taken care of business and you couldn't get it done. But you know, the big story in this game was the fact that in overtime, the game goes to overtime, and when it does, head coach Bill Belichick chose to kick off and play field position instead of, you know, taking his offense saying, we're going to go score. No, I'm going to trust my defense. I'm going to trust my defense to get it done. They've been pretty good all year. Surely they can shut down the New York Jets offense. And instead, the Jets go 80 yards right down their throat and score a touchdown to win it. Now, I know Bill Belichick is a smart guy. I've told you before. I think Bill Belichick is a little bit shady. I think if the opportunity presents himself to cheat, he will do it. But I think he is a really, really smart guy. I think he is one of the best game day coaches maybe that has ever been in the league. He's one of the best at exploiting matchups. He's one of the best at taking away what you do well. But we have seen in his career, there are times that Bill Belichick kind of out-coaches himself, kind of out-thinks himself. Here's the thing that I want you to think about. We talk about Bill Belichick, and everybody, well, yeah, he tried to play, you know, just the ratio games. Surely his defense will get a stop against Ryan Fitzpatrick and the Jets. The Jets, what are they going to do? They're the Jets. But here's the thing I want you to think about, because I started thinking about this when that happened. He elects to kick instead of taking the ball and giving it to, again, we talked about it earlier in the show, what we are hearing is the greatest quarterback to ever walk God's green earth. And I want you to think about this for a second. Can you imagine, can you even fathom a world in which Bill Walsh would have kicked off with Joe Montana standing there? Hey, fellas, we got a great defense. I know we've got Joe Montana and Jerry Rice, but we've got a great defense. I'm just going to trust in them to get it done. You give the ball to Joe Montana. Can you imagine, like, Weeb Eubank or Don Shula with Johnny Unitas standing on the sideline being like, hey, we're just going to trust our defense. No, you give the ball to Johnny Unitas. I know for a fact, because I saw it, if there was an overtime game, Mike Shanahan took the ball and handed it to John Elway. Now, you have, again, what is supposed to be the greatest quarterback in the history of ever, and you kick off? And I know, we talked about it last week, the offensive line is banged up. The wide receivers are banged up, I know. But you just had driven down the field and scored at the end of regulation. You're going to tell me that, I don't know if I trust Tommy to get it done here. I'm going to trust our defense. You have Tom Brady. Sometimes coaches outthink themselves. Sometimes they just outthink themselves. I was at a coaching clinic one time, and I was listening to Larry Brown speak, and he was telling a story about when he was coaching Danny Manning at Kansas. And I mean, it was Danny Manning, and then it was four other guys on that team. Like, you probably can't even name any of the other guys. And there was one point in the game when he decided late in the game, game on the line, we need a bucket, that he was going to trick everyone and use Manning to set the screen instead of get the screen and use this other guy that no one's ever heard of before or since, and he's going to take the big shot. And everyone in the huddle kind of looked at him and just said, Coach, just give it to Danny. Sometimes coaches get a little too cute. Sometimes we like to X and O a little bit too much, and we're like, oh, this will really trick him, and we'll get it done here. Sometimes you just give the ball to your best player, and you just get out of his way. And we have seen times in Bill Belichick's career that he has kind of outcoached himself. Sometimes he thinks about it a little too much. New England Patriots have a chance to clinch home field this week. We'll see if they get it done. Another team that stumbled this past week, the Pittsburgh Steelers, who had been one of the hottest teams in the NFL. Pittsburgh had won five of their last six games, and they were putting up huge numbers. On offense, they were just putting up like old Nintendo Tecmo Bowl kind of numbers. And, you know, last week, they come from being down 17 to beat the Denver Broncos. And apparently, Pittsburgh thought they had won the Super Bowl that week, and that they didn't have a game the following week. Because this past week, they lost 20-17 to the 4-10 Baltimore Ravens. Really? With Ryan Mallett at quarterback? I'm surprised Ryan Mallett didn't sleep through the game. You lost to him, and this is one of the teams that we're looking at and saying, hey, they could be the one of the contenders. Now, Pittsburgh goes from being one of the contenders, one of the most dangerous teams possibly in the playoffs, and I still think if they were to make it, they would be. But they actually run a big risk of completely missing the postseason. For the third time in 4 years, I don't want to point that out, Steeler fans, but for the third time in 4 years, you could be missing the playoffs. Now, Pittsburgh to get in. on Sunday, they've got to beat Cleveland. That should be a piece of cake. That really shouldn't be an issue. Although we thought the same thing about playing Baltimore this last week. And then they've got to cheer for the Jets to lose to Buffalo. Or Mike Tomlin, who, remember last week against Denver, he's pointing and giving the guns to the camera and he's showboating and doing some things. You might be missing the postseason. And I still think, with that offense, I think they're very, very dangerous. Yet for some reason, with that offense, they couldn't seem to get anything going against the Baltimore Ravens. The Baltimore Ravens, who have given up some pretty huge numbers this year. I mean, they scored 17 points, just 300 yards total against Baltimore. There are teams that have put up 300 yards and a half against Baltimore this year. Pittsburgh Steelers, big, big loss. The Green Bay Packers got drilled 38-8 by Arizona. And a few things stood out to me about this game, because I watch most of this game. I watch a lot of games. I flip around, though, and do a lot of red zone kind of stuff. But this game I actually watch quite a bit of. And a few things that stood out for me for the Green Bay Packers. One, about this Arizona-Green Bay game, Arizona might be the best team in the NFL. Yep, I said it. The Arizona Cardinals might be the best team in the NFL. Offense, they put up points. Carson Palmer gets it done, finds guys. They've got receivers. They've got running backs. Defense, now, the thing about Arizona, they've always been okay, and they bring in these kind of funky blitz patterns and bring out some packages that maybe would confuse guys. They're starting to get pressure from their just four guys. No blitzes. Calais Campbell, Dwight Freeney, who everyone forgot about. Yes, we all thought that he was just a corpse. Somehow, they're getting pressure from their front four. And if you can get pressure in the NFL or in any college or in any football, if you can get pressure with your front four, I can drop seven into coverage. Good luck. Good luck. Because you're not going to get very many windows to throw into with seven guys back here. Starting to see that from Arizona. Arizona might be the best team in the NFL. And two, the other thing that I really noticed and took away from this Green Bay Packers-Arizona game, Aaron Rodgers doesn't have much help. And when I say he doesn't have much help, I mean like he has no help whatsoever. They're starting to look like they're just kind of riding out the year because they don't look like they can win a playoff game. And really, this next Sunday, they're going to face Minnesota. In Minnesota, yes, they won. They beat the Giants. But Minnesota kind of looks like they have their own issues. Of the two teams, I kind of like Minnesota better. Aaron Rodgers doesn't have much help. And I'll tell you another thing that I kind of noticed in this game. Watch Aaron Rodgers playing right now. There is not a lot of, and I don't want to read too much into this kind of stuff, but there's not a lot of like camaraderie with his teammates. There's not a lot of, hey, that's all right, we'll get him next time. There's not, and I understand when you get drilled 38-8, there's not much to cheer about. I get it. But even when it was early, you're not seeing that. Aaron Rodgers doesn't look like he's enjoying his team very much. He doesn't look like he's having much fun this season. And some of it is when you get drilled, and some of it is I don't think he likes this situation very much. Going to be some interesting games to keep an eye on this weekend. Final week of the NFL season coming up this week. We will have all the playoff spots locked after this week. It's going to be very, very interesting. There's still spots up for grabs. The Patriots have to win. Denver could actually sneak in and get home field advantage throughout. Arizona, Carolina, teams to keep an eye on. Going to be interesting to see who sneaks into the NFL playoffs. Let's jump over to college football. Have you been watching the bowl games? Are you keeping an eye on the bowl games? We've had a few interesting bowl games. I watched a little bit of Colorado State and Nevada. Watched a little bit of Air Force Cal. It's bowl season. You kind of flip it on, and maybe it'll be good, and maybe it turns out to be a game, and then you kind of flip away from it and come back to it. I watched a little bit of that bowl game with Navy, and watched that quarterback with Navy. He's phenomenal. He's phenomenal. Navy beats Pittsburgh, and I mean Keenan Reynolds has 24 carries for 144 yards. He has three touchdowns. He's a fun player to watch. He's not eligible for the College Football Hall of Fame. He's only the leading, touchdown scorer in NCAA history, but he's not eligible. because he wasn't ever, you know, given All-American status. So he's not eligible for that. But hey, other than that, I watched some UCLA-Nebraska. That was a good game. Nebraska comes back and beats UCLA. Yeah, there's been a few decent games here and there. Baylor-North Carolina last night wasn't all bad. So there's a few decent games. But I want to talk about the big games. Because the big games are coming up on Thursday. It's weird when you're watching these bowl games, though. It's kind of strange when you're watching these bowl games. Because you look at them and like there are certain teams that you're like, well, yeah, they had to play pretty good. Or this team, well, they fired their coach and now they got an interim coach. They probably won't do anything. Let me just say this. If you're betting on college football bowl games, you're like a degenerate gambler. Because unless you're talking about the championship game when we know both teams are pretty invested, you're taking your life in your own hands there. Because when you look at like the trends, well, this team was playing really well down the stretch. Doesn't matter. Well, this team has a lot of young players. Doesn't matter. Well, this team really has a veteran. It doesn't matter. Because some kids look at bowl games as, hey, this is the big cherry on top. It doesn't matter. This is just dessert. It doesn't matter if I eat or not. We're just enjoying the experience. I just am going to Vegas to have fun. I don't care about winning the game. The game is an afterthought. And then there are other teams that look at it and say, hey, no, we're going to go win this bowl game. It's the biggest thing to us. We want to go into next season on a winning note. And you just don't know which team is which in a lot of these bowl games. You don't know what the motivation is for these teams. Here's my advice. Don't bet on bowl games. Like I said, if you want to take your chances on the big games, we have a pretty good idea that those teams are probably pretty invested. Now, the second college football playoff is coming up on Thursday. Not Friday. Thursday. Why is this game on Thursday? It doesn't make any sense. New Year's Eve, I know the people at the NCAA, I realize they have like zero contact with the real world. I realize that they don't have any idea what goes on in the real world. But unbeknownst to some of those people, Thursday is actually like a work day for most of America. You have the game starting at 2 p.m. Mountain Standard Time on Thursday. Most people are working. Why wouldn't you put it on New Year's Day that so many people have off? Once again, can the NCAA ever make sense? Ever. Like, I'm not asking just one time makes sense. So stupid. Anyways, let's take a look at both these games. The Orange Bowl, being played Thursday, 2 p.m., you have 11-1 Oklahoma versus 13-0 Clemson. If you like offense, if you like, this has all the opportunities to be a shootout. If you like to see the high-powered stuff, you like to see teams come out, throw it around, run it. I mean, they've got a little bit of everything offensively. And I'm not saying that they're bad defensively. That's not what I'm saying at all. I'm just saying these guys got some offense. OU quarterback, Baker Mayfield. Dude throws for over 300 yards per game. And Clemson quarterback, Deshaun Watson, he's not quite at 300 yards a game, but he runs for like 70 yards a game. So he's, you know, pretty close. I mean, these guys are going to put up numbers. If you want a shootout, this is your chance. This is your chance. You know, since the loss to Texas, Oklahoma has been completely dominant. I mean, they have just gone on a tear since they lost that game to Texas. Here's what I'm talking about. They have beaten their opponents. Since they lost to Texas, they have beaten their opponents by an average of 52-19. And that you sit there and say, well, yeah, but they were playing Iowa State. Yeah, they were also playing Baylor, TCU, and Oklahoma State. Now, here's the one drawback about that. Since they lost to Texas, they've been on a tear. But did you notice that I said one really weird phrase? They lost to Texas. I'm just throwing that out there. Somehow this year, a team in the national playoff game, they lost to Texas. Sorry, Travis. I had to say it. Now, on the other side, Clemson's schedule, I think, is significantly softer. I think the ACC is weak. They beat Notre Dame at home in the rain. They beat Florida State. I know it's not like Florida State last year. And they beat North Carolina, who at the end of the day, I suppose, is still North Carolina. They're getting better, but they're still North Carolina. Orange Bowl, Thursday. I'm going to pick Oklahoma. I'm going to pick Oklahoma. I think they'll get it done. I think they'll have enough offense. I like Baker Mayfield. I think Oklahoma has a chance to win the whole thing. Here's the one concern I have, and I'll throw this out there. Here's the one concern that I have. Big game Bob Stoops. That's the name. Big game Bob Stoops. 8-8 in bowl games. 8-8 in big games. I realize you probably played in like some, I don't know, Freedom Bowls or whatever, but 8-8 in big games. There are times we have seen big game Bob not really coach up a big game. That's a concern to me. And the other thing that I think at least is out there is I think there are a lot of people telling Clemson, you don't have much of a shot here. You're Clemson. You're Clemson. I mean, there's a verb named after you. You Clemson things. I think that might serve as a little bit of motivation for this game. Maybe this team comes out and says, hey, we can play with these guys. I'm going to take OU. I think they'll get it done. The Cotton Bowl will come on following this game, Thursday, 6 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. You've got 12-1 Michigan State versus 12-1 Alabama. Now, as much as that first game is going to be offense and shootout and throw the ball all over the place, and I mean, this is going to be almost the exact opposite. This is going to be tough defense, smash mouth, physicality. What a great contrast in games. I know that I kind of wanted these teams mixed up a little bit, but you do have a great contrast in games. You're going to hear that Michigan State is actually like one play away from being undefeated. And it's true. It's true. I mean, one kind of weird, funky play against Nebraska, and Michigan State's sitting there undefeated. Of course, they're also five plays away from being 8-5, because it really could have gone the other way, too. Now, I love the toughness that Mark D'Antonio, the head coach for Michigan State, his teams just have a toughness, they have a confidence, they have a feeling that we don't care who's in front of us. You saw this against Iowa. We don't care that Iowa's undefeated. We don't care that we have to go the length of the field and score a touchdown with the game on the line. We don't care. We'll get it done. And I love that toughness about them. I just think that Alabama can generate more offense. We know Alabama's defense and that front seven's going to be nasty. They just are. I think Alabama can actually generate a little more offense. Derrick Henry's a beast. Here's the one thing to keep in mind, though. I'm going to pick Alabama. I think it's going to be Alabama versus Oklahoma in the national championship next, whenever that is. What, Monday the 11th? Something like that. Here's one thing to keep in mind. Talked about big game Bob. 8-8 in bowl games. What's Nick Saban's record in bowl games? What does Nick Saban do in a bowl game? Nick Saban, we talk about this guy. He's one of the greatest college football coaches ever. Did you know he's 8-8 in bowl games? Same record as Bob Stoops. Going to be interesting to keep an eye on these games. These games should be fun to watch. I know. Hopefully you don't have to work. Hopefully you can actually get home in time to watch them. These games should be a lot of fun to watch, though. Hey, as we do every single week, we've got to get to our Daily Dose Top 5. Now, with the bowl games here and the national championship games coming up, I started to think just about bowl games. About bowl games and some of the games that I know that I've seen in kind of in my life and some of those things. And I started to think about what are the best bowl games ever. Now, you might sit there and say, we've heard the list of best bowl games. Here's the catch. First off, I'm only going to go off the bowl games that like I personally know of, like the games that I personally have seen. I'm not going to go back to like the 1968 Blue Bonnet Bowl. I didn't see that. I don't know that. I realize that Alabama has won bowl games that no one even has ever heard of, and they've even got national championships from like the Civil War days. I didn't see that. I'm not going to talk about that. But I wanted to talk about the best bowl games that I've seen, and I don't want it to be national championship games. So it can't be national championship games, and it's the best bowl games. The Daily Dose Top 5 non-national championship bowl games of all time, right here. Number 5 on my list. You might remember this one. 2005 in the Rose Bowl. It was the first time that Texas and Michigan had ever faced each other. Which is bizarre. Here are two of the most winning college football programs ever. They had never seen each other. And in this game, Michigan actually had a 10-point lead going into the fourth quarter. You had Chad Henne was phenomenal in this game. Passing to Braylon Edwards, they connected for three touchdowns. Had a lead, had a 10-point lead, looked like Michigan was kind of rolling, but Texas had this young quarterback named Vince Young put up 372 total yards and 5 touchdowns, and somehow led the comeback. Texas scores 17 points in the fourth quarter, and it really was a sign of things to come, because you'll remember the next year, Vince Young would lead another comeback, this time against USC in the national championship game of 2006. 2005 Rose Bowl, I remember that game. That was a really, really fun game. See Texas come back right at the very, very end and win it. Number four on my list, the 1997 Rose Bowl. Again, it had national championship implications, not a national championship game. Ohio State was 10-1. Arizona State was 11-0. Arizona State was actually number two. And you might remember this year, they had actually knocked off undefeated Nebraska earlier that season. Arizona State had beaten a Nebraska team that hadn't lost in like almost two full seasons. Jake Plummer, Derek Rogers, Pat Tillman was on this Arizona State team. And they had a chance. If things fell right and Arizona State were to somehow win this game, they had a chance. They could have actually been the national champs, because this wasn't playoff days. This was, what do you feel like on Monday morning? How do you want to vote? Ohio State, they had two quarterbacks. They played Stanley Jackson and they played Joe Germain. They had offensive lineman Orlando Pace, who was a monster, and they had wide receiver David Boston. This was pre-gigantic David Boston steroid days. Ohio State went up 14-0 and or 14-10 very, very late in the game. But Jake Plummer, you knew Jake Plummer. He was just that guy. He was like, no, I'm getting it done. I'm getting it done. Jake Plummer leads Arizona State back down the field, and they score a touchdown with less than 2 minutes left. So in a game that's now it's 17-14, but you're like, yeah, but we haven't seen scoring all day. Ohio State gets the ball back at their own 35, minute 19 left, and somehow Joe Germain takes them right down the field and hits David Boston with 20 seconds left. Buckeyes win 20-17. Knocked Arizona State out of the national championship title, at least hopes that they had of maybe it falling their way. But the crazy part that I remember about this game, it had been a very, very tight defensive struggle the whole game, 2 minutes left, and all of a sudden it just exploded. I mean, Ohio State goes and scores. Arizona State goes and scores. Ohio State goes back down and scores again. Phenomenal finish to the 1997 Rose Bowl. Number three on the list. It's got to be the chicken soup game, doesn't it? Are you familiar with the chicken soup game? Okay. The 1979 Cotton Bowl. In this game, Notre Dame came out playing Houston. In this didn't have any national championship aspirations. Both these teams were okay. Notre Dame comes out, scores the first 12 points. But then their quarterback, Joe Montana, had the flu. And his temperature was actually, his body temperature was actually dropping down under 96 degrees. He was being treated for hypothermia. So they take him back to the locker room. They take Joe Montana to the locker room, you know, after halftime. And they're feeding this guy chicken soup, trying to get his body temperature back up. And in the meantime, Houston goes up 34-12. Now, they feed Joe the chicken soup. They try to raise his body temperature. He comes back out. When he comes back out, 7 minutes left, down 34-12. This game's over, right? Notre Dame fans see Joe Montana come back out. Maybe. He scores one. Scores another. Scores another. And with zero time left, they had 2 seconds left, he throws the ball out of bounds. He chucks one in the end zone, 8 yards, no time left. Notre Dame wins 35-34 behind a sick, ailing Joe Montana. And honestly, that was kind of where a little bit of the legend of Joe Montana started to come around. Because he started to say, man, this is one of those guys that he's just clutch. He just doesn't get rattled. He just stays cool. Yeah, he was really cool on this game. Cool enough that they had to feed him chicken soup. Number two on our list has to be the 1980 Holiday Bowl. The 1980 Holiday, if you don't remember these days, these were back in the wild days of the Holiday Bowl. The Holiday Bowl used to be a pretty entertaining bowl game. Let me throw this one out for you. Less than 3 minutes left. Less than 3 minutes left in the game. SMU is up 45-25 on BYU. Craig James for SMU. People remember Eric Dickerson at SMU. They forget how good Craig James was. Craig James had 225 yards and 3 touchdowns in this game. Eric Dickerson had 110 yards and 2 touchdowns in this game. And there's only 2:35 left. There's 2:35 left. SMU up 45-25. This game's over, right? This game's over. There's no way BYU's coming back. But then BYU quarterback Jim McMahon throws a touchdown. They go for 2. They don't get it. Okay. You're still up. You're still up. They kick it onside. They get it back. 3 plays later, BYU scores again. Now they go for 2 and they get it. Now it's 45-39, but there's less than 2 minutes left. They kick onside again. SMU recovers. That's probably game. BYU somehow manages to stop Craig James and Eric Dickerson. They can't get a first down. They punt. 41 seconds left when BYU gets the ball back. Down 6. They are at the SMU 41. 2 incomplete passes. It's the last second kind of thing. Here's the thing that stands out to me about this game. And any of these games that I'm talking about, feel free to go back and watch the highlights on YouTube. I've watched a couple of them and rewatched them just to kind of, you know, remember if my memories are correct. Go back and watch this game. Here's the thing that stands out to me about this game. Jim McMahon takes the final snap of the game and he backs up across the 50. So he's just the other side of the 50 when he throws a Hail Mary pass to the end zone. He doesn't wind up. He doesn't step into it. He kind of is just at the back of his 7-9 step drop, and he just kind of snaps it off of his back foot. Like, he doesn't load up and throw this thing. He just kind of snaps it with just his shoulder. Hail Mary is caught in the end zone. BYU kicks the extra point and beats SMU 46-45 after just being down 20 with less than 3 minutes to go. The 1980 Holiday Bowl, I can remember being a very, very young kid and watching that game and thinking this is the most amazing finish I've ever seen. Pretty amazing game. But number one has to be, there's really only one choice for this game, isn't there? I mean, you had a true David versus Goliath in this game. The 2007 Fiesta Bowl. David versus Goliath. Boise State versus Oklahoma. Sure, Boise State was 12-0, but they didn't belong on the same field with Oklahoma. They certainly didn't belong in a big game like the Fiesta Bowl. And they jumped out early 14-0, and then they were even up 27-10. But Oklahoma comes back. OU quarterback Paul Thompson brings them back. Adrian Peterson has a pretty good day. And Oklahoma comes back. They pick off quarterback Jared Zabransky, run it into the end zone. Okay, it was cute. David, you competed. You gave it the old college try, but you're not Oklahoma. You're not one of the big dogs. Oklahoma is going to still get this done. And when Adrian Peterson, the game actually, Boise State comes back at the very end of regulation. They tie it up. It goes into overtime. Adrian Peterson busts off like a 25-yard run in overtime. Goliath is still going to win. Like, David, your story was cute, but Goliath is still going to get this done. Boise State, they get the ball in overtime. They drive down to the 6-yard line, 4th and 2. What are you going to run? Are you going to run it? Are you going to throw it? They had tried to run it up the middle. They were having some problems. They actually run their quarterback, split him out to the end, snap it to a wide receiver, and the wide receiver throws a touchdown. Vinny Perrette, throws a touchdown to Derek Schumann. Touchdown. Then, instead of kicking it and saying, we're going to extend it, go into another overtime, Boise State head coach Chris Peterson decides, nope, we're going to go for 2. We're going to go for 2. We don't want to just try to hang with Goliath. We're going to try to lop his head off. On the 2-point conversion, quarterback Jared Zabransky fakes a bubble screen out to the right side, flips the ball with his left hand behind his back to running back Ian Johnson, who is coming around left in. Statue of Liberty play with the game on the line. David beats Goliath. Boise State 43, Oklahoma 42. That's the best bowl game I've ever seen. No, it wasn't a national championship. No, it didn't have national championship in, you know, implications. But it was the best bowl game that I've ever seen. Hey, next week on the show, we will preview the national championship game. We'll know Oklahoma, Clemson, Michigan State, Alabama, who got through. And the NFL playoffs will be set. We will take a look at how the NFL playoffs are going to shape up. Plus, as we do every week, you know we'll have our Daily Dose Top 5. Hey, if you get a chance, head over to iTunes and give us a 5-star rating. We would appreciate that so much. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I would like to wish all of you listeners out there a very, very safe and a very, very happy new year. I will see you all next week.